Hey everyone, and welcome to the third installment of Worthy-sode, which is our mini-sode to Noteworthy. It's me, Shelly, one of your two co-hosts, and today's legend, wait for it, dairy artist is none other than Big Joe Turner. So sit back, chillax, and let's get started. All right, everyone. This episode, I have to admit, took me a minute to record. It's not my fault, though. There are just way too many talented artists I wanted to choose from. And at the end of the day, I literally just wrote their names all on scrap pieces of paper, threw them into my Jack Skellington Christmas hat, and I just chose, picked one, and I kept with it. And I'm super stoked for the person I chose. Well, that fate chose. You know, I honestly wish all of life's decisions could be figured out that way. Things would be a lot simpler, maybe. Anyway, let's get started. All right, so today's Worthy-sode mini-sode is on Joseph Vernon Turner Jr., also known as Big Joe Turner. Side note, I legit want a cool bluesy nickname. All these artists got me like green with envy, but in a good way, not in the Hulk smash kind of way, more in the like, I truly admire you kind of way. Anyway, Turner was born May 18th, 1911, in Kansas City. He was an American blues shouter, and according to Opine legendary songwriter Doc Pomus, rock and roll would have never happened without him. His greatest fame was due to his rock and roll recordings in the 1950s, particularly Shake, Rattle, and Roll. But his career as a performer endured from the 1920s all the way into the 1980s. His father was killed in a train accident when he was just 4 years old. He sang in his church and on street corners for money. He left school at age 14 to work in Kansas City nightclubs, first as a cook and later as a singing bartender. He became known as the singing barman and worked in such venues as the Kingfish Club and the Sunset, where he and his partner, the Boogie Woogie pianist Pete Johnson, became resident performers. He was among the first to mix R&B with Boogie Woogie, resulting in Jump Blues, a style that presaged the birth of rock and roll. Indeed, Turner's original recording of Shake, Rattle, and Roll, cut for Atlantic Records in 1954, remains one of the cornerstone numbers of the rock and roll revolution. Turner was a huge man with a husky, booming voice who could outshout a big band without amplification while projecting clarity and control. Turner and Johnson helped popularize Boogie Woogie and Jump Blues in the late 30s and early 40s. He said, "Everybody was singing slow blues when I was young, and I thought I'd put a beat to it and sing it up tempo." With Pete Johnson by his side, the songs Turner sang and sometimes wrote were often risky, employing coy slang, words, and metaphors for sex in ways that would amuse a partying club crowd. The duo brought their routine to New York in the late 30s, and their appearance in the Spirituals to Swing concert in December 1938 proved to be a major turning point. Turner sang without a microphone, his forceful pipes carrying into the furthest reaches of the sold-out hall with ease. In New York, Turner and Johnson became regulars at the Cafe Society nightclub and signed to Vocaline Records, cutting some seminal versions of Roland Pete and Terry Red for the label. Turner recorded prolifically in the 40s for various labels, including Decca, National, and Aladdin. He worked with Johnson as well as a number of many talented pianists, including such giants as Albert Ammons, Willie the Lion Smith, and Meade Lux Lewis. In 1946, Turner had his first R&B hit, My Gal's a Jockey, released on Herb Abrams' National label. Abram would go on to co-found Atlantic Records with Ahmet in 1948. Meanwhile, Turner, who recorded for a bewildering variety of labels during this period, charted again in the 1950s with Still in the Dark, issued on the Houston-based Freedom label. In 1951, Ertgun brought Turner to Atlantic Records, where he cut a string of rhythm and blues and early rock and roll classics over the next decade. Among them were Chains of Love, Sweet 16, Honey Hush, Shake, Rattle, and Roll, Flip, Flop, and Fly, and just many, many, many others. Now, Shake, Rattle, and Roll and Honey Hush were particularly massive hits, topping the R&B charts for 3 and 8 weeks, respectively. Pianist Fats Domino accompanied Turner on the romping TV Mama for a spell. Turner was a bona fide rock and roll star, cutting such songs as Teenage Letter and all these for the youth market, and appearing in the teen flick Shake, Rattle, and Rock in 1956. No other figure straddled rock and roll and rhythm and blues with such authority as Turner. Capitalizing on his reputation as a pioneer, Turner shuttled easily between the two worlds, sharing stages with Fats Domino, The Clovers, Bo Diddley, and a variety of other acts on Alan Freed's packaged tours. But Turner's musical roots were too deep to limit him to the faddish teen market. Turner's definitive work for Atlantic came in 1956, and the title said it all. The Boss of the Blues, Joe Turner Sings Kansas City Jazz. A sequel of sorts, Big Joe Rides Again, appeared in 1960. Now in the 60s, after the first wave of rock and roll had died down, Turner returned to the blues and boogie-woogie. He moved to Los Angeles, where he recorded with jazz legends like Dizzy Gillespie, Count Basie, Roy Eldridge for some well-received albums on the Pablo label. He also schooled a young backup band that eventually became the Blasters. The 1983 album Blues Train, on which he was backed by a room full of blues and produced by Doc Pomus, was a late career gem. Having outlasted trends until his sound became timeless, Big Joe Turner continued to record and perform until his death in 1985. Now, unfortunately, Turner died of heart failure in November 1985 at the age of 74 in Inglewood, California, having suffered from effects of arthritis, a stroke, and diabetes. He was buried at Roosevelt Memorial Park in Gardena, California. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, though. He won the Esquire Magazine Award for Male Vocalist in 1945, the Melody Maker Award for Best New Vocalist in 1956, and the British Jazz Journal Award as Top Male Singer of 1965. He inspired singers from Ray Charles to Bill Haley to the Blues Brothers. Now, quotes about him said, "He showed the way. Also, any of us that ever tried to sing the blues learned something from Joe Turner," said the blues man B.B. King himself. "He was able to sing to people that hadn't listened to the blues before, and he showed the way for a lot of us to follow." Now, Joe Williams said he was an urban blues singer, and that meant a lot to a city boy like me. Now, once again, because of the times, even though this man was so widely known, so widely recognized, he was not very much well off when it came to funds. During the 1970s and 1980s, Mr. Pomus had helped Mr. Turner set some of his business affairs in order. Mr. Turner could not read and could only write his name. He did not have a manager. And songwriters earned money through recording royalties, a few cents for each record sold. And a songwriter whose compositions are frequently recorded can count on income if he was retained publishing rights. Like many other performers, however, Mr. Turner often signed away the rights to songs he had written or failed to claim them. "He certainly could have lived a lot better than he did if he had the rights to all the songs," said Don Carino, a royalties manager at the Chappelle Music Company, who helped untangle some of Mr. Turner's copyrights. He also said he was not a good businessman, and I guess he got advice from various sources, not all of them terribly reliable. So on December 5th of 1985, at Lone Star Cafe on 5th Avenue and 13th Street, dozens of musicians gathered to perform in a benefit concert to help his wife, Patricia Turner, who was his sole survivor, pay his debts. Now, indeed, Turner's mastery of every genre, including blues, jazz, R&B, and swing, gave way to his up-tempo party hits, but make no mistake, the timeless Big Joe Turner is bigger than any one genre, era, or song. And that, noteworthiness, is the life of Big Joe Turner. And honestly speaking, it wasn't until, I don't think, not too long ago that artists started looking more in depth into their contracts and actually making sure that they read everything word for word, or even a lot of artists nowadays don't even sign contracts with big record labels. They would much rather put themselves out there to go around some of the things that a lot of these artists that we've already talked about had to go through, about not getting the proper recognition for their work, about not getting properly paid for their work. How you are so widely recognized and play so many shows and have so many hits, and then your family still has to end up having a fundraiser just to afford to clear off some of your debts, to afford your funeral, to afford to just keep living. In that time, it was so much harder for Black Americans to even get the proper funds that they needed, their royalties. Now, today, today, actually, some people do get away with still blindsiding artists, especially if they're young artists and just quickly want to get themselves out there because they're so upbeat and they're so, like, ready, gung-ho to be there. But nowadays, a lot of them look through, they get lawyers, they get everything. They have people look through their contracts because stuff that like this should not be happening. It's your art. It's your work. It's what you put your heart and soul into. And nobody should ever be able to claim that but you. But yeah, that's it for today's Worthy Soda episode. Once again, this is Shelly signing off. Bye, you guys. Worthy Soda is brought to you by CC Black Girl Production.
Nina, say bye.